You guys ready? Everybody say the lazy man. Everybody say the lazy girl. Or the lazy woman. This applies for you and me, girls and boys, men and women, amen? The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. That's a good verse. Now we're going to go to Proverbs 6:6-11. Now this, check this out. This is, I think they probably based, they could have based this little Disney flick on right here. Check it out. Go to the ant. Everybody say, go to the ant. You sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler. See, over here we had a queen, but really they were just, if you see ants, there's no boss ant. They're all just working. Provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? Everybody say, how long? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. A little sleep, a little, hey, seriously, like, I'm not talking to anybody in this room because I'm going to speak life into you guys today, amen? The word of God is going to speak life into our lives today. See, God has been really pushing me to step up my game in my spiritual life. And this, when I was watching this, this verse came to mind, and it's, how long will you sleep, oh what? Oh sluggard, how long will you sleep, oh sluggard? I'm going to read a story, and you guys, many of you guys have read this story before, but I want you guys to really pay attention. This is funny to us when we watch it in a movie or like in a cartoon, because cartoons usually have a happy ending, yeah? But there's going to be a day, like I said, I'm not saying this to intimidate you or to scare you. I'm just giving you truth tonight. The Bible says that there's going to be a day when God is going to separate the sheep from the goat. And it's going to be too late, like just like this grasshopper. It's going to be too late because people that have been working and harvesting and picking up and working in the kingdom of God, working on their salvation, working on their spiritual life, they're going to be in line and they're going to be partying it up in heaven just like these ants were. They were dancing, they were eating, they were having a blast. And somebody was left out. See, luckily for this grasshopper, this queen had mercy on his life. And he was able to live. But I'm telling you guys, there's going to be a day where our merciful God, he says that he's long-suffering, amen? But there's going to be a day where his hand's going to be, his hand's out right now, reaching to lift us up and to forgive us. And if we come boldly and eat some humble pie and say, Lord, you know what? I'm messing up. I want to start making better choices. In the summer. So when the winter comes, I'll have my place in that little cave or in heaven or wherever we're going to, I mean, in heaven. I'm just talking about this cave that these ants were in or whatever they were in. The tree or, it was a tree, right? So I'm telling you guys, we have to really like start making decisions that are going to, where God says, you know what? You were faithful in the little, but I'm going to put you above a bunch of stuff. Come in, faithful servant. Let's party it up together. Amen? See, sometimes, like I'm telling you, God is really working. Like last night, I told my wife, like I cleaned the balcony and I bought like a little patio set. And I haven't been feeling very good as far as like my health. And I went to the doctors and the doctors are like, oh, this might be wrong. Here's some antibiotics, take them. And I told Chanel, and the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. He said, hey, practice what you preach. And why are you relying on antibiotics? Isn't my body and my blood enough for you? So I listened to a message a long time ago, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of it. So I went to the store, and I bought some grape juice, and I bought some unleavened bread. And the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, instead of taking your antibiotics, take communion instead of taking antibiotics. Nice. So I told Chanel that, and I said, I want to have a powerful testimony on how these antibiotics, like I just threw them out and I just took communion with my wife and with God. See, people think you have to go to church. Yeah, we do it as a church to remind the church and remind each other, but who's our high priest? Jesus. That's all we need. Jesus, me, and some bread and some grape juice. And I'm just gonna think about God, and I'm gonna think about his blood and his covenant. I'm gonna think about his body and how it was broken. And I'm just gonna focus on Jesus, is only on Jesus. So I took communion this morning again by myself. I poured out my little grape juice on some cup, and then I pulled that little unleavened piece of bread. It's like a cracker, and I was like, Lord, this is your body that was broken for my body. I'm gonna take this for you. Mm. Instead of having chorizo with eggs, I had some unleavened bread and some grape juice. And he said, no way, brother. And then I asked, Lord, this is your blood that was shed for me on the cross. See, I'm exposing my personal life to you guys. So when my miracle comes, because it's coming real soon, and I already feel better. I already feel better. Then you guys are going to say, hey, I remember when Isaac told us, and he wasn't lying about that. And you're able to do, when you're feeling like that, and say, you know what, Jesus, you're my high priest. I'm going to do this in remembrance of you and what you did for me. And I'm going to remind myself and remind my flesh. See, this morning I was like, maybe the antibiotics were working. And I was like, no. Devil, you're a liar. Amen? Amen? That was just a little side nugget for you guys, all right? Here we go. For the now we're going to talk about this story. Like I said, some of you guys know the story. Some of you guys might not. Amen? Are you guys ready to go home already? All right, cool. I like your hat, brother. Drugs Against Resistance Education. That's what it stands for. That's what your hat stands for. What was it? It is anti-drugs. Drugs Awareness Resistance Education. My bad, dude. My bad. You're like, wait, that's not right. Huh? Dogs Against Ridiculous. Huh? All right, for sure. All right, so check it out. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. We're going to talk about five sluggards, five lazies, and five what, brother? What can we name the other? Five prudent, five smart ones, five what? Five loyal, five workers. So let's say five workers and five lazies, eh? Yeah? All right, cool. You guys ready? All right, make sure you pay attention, all right? Tell the person next to you, pay attention. All right, here we go. The kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins. Everybody say 10 virgins. 10 virgins. Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now check it out. Five of them were wise and five were what?
Foolish.
Everybody say, don't be foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. See, I don't know what these ladies were tripping on, but sometimes they could say, oh, oil is really heavy and I don't want to carry oil. Or, you know what, oil is really expensive. I don't know what their excuse was, but obviously they didn't have oil. Oh, oil is really expensive and I don't want to waste my money on oil when I could spend it on shoes. I don't want to spend it on oil when I could spend it on food. I don't want to spend it on oil because I want to spend it on my, girlfriend or boyfriend. It takes time. Amen? Yes? Now it says, but while the bridegroom was delayed, so, the bridegroom is representing their master or their man, right? He was delayed. They all slumbered and slept. Everybody say slumbered and slept. See, you could either sleep because you're tired of working, or you could sleep because you're what? Lazy. Yeah? Have you ever slept for like 20 hours and then you wake up and you want to sleep some more? Because you're lazy. Not you, but because you feel lazy, yeah? Who sleeps for over 12 hours a day? Yeah, brothers. Enjoy your awesome life right now. I remember when I first married Chanel, we used to sleep for like ever because my schedule is kind of cool. Like I work 3/12s, or I used to work 3/12s. So like I work 3 days and I'm off for 4 days. So like the first day off, like we sleep all day and like just kick it. And then Andy came and then I continued to sleep. But then Andy had to wake up and feed the baby and all that, right? Huh? Oh, Andy fed herself, yeah. So Chanel had to wake up to feed the baby. And she couldn't sleep, so then she was tired. But then when Isaac came, well, I feel bad saying this, but I got to be honest. I continued sleeping. And now Chanel, like me and Andy sleep now, right? Because me and Andy knock out. And then Chanel has to wake up every like 2 or 3 hours to feed the baby. Because that guy is high maintenance. What's up, buddy? He's walking. Hey, he's walking today. He took like 5 or 6 steps. Yeah, so my point is, you could sleep because you work all day and you're really tired. Who's been so tired because they've worked that you can't even fall asleep? You're just like wired up, and it's happened to me. It takes me like some time to like wind down. So for you guys that are enjoying your youth right now, don't sleep for 12 hours. You know, wake up and help your mom clean the house, or, you know, don't be lazy, all right? Cool? All right, where do we leave off? Okay, but while the bride, okay, and at midnight, so everybody's sleepy, right? They're tired, either because they're working or just because they're being lazy. So pay attention. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." So somebody's yelling out, "Hey, the man's coming." So check it out. Then all those virgins, they woke up and they trimmed their lamps. So they're like getting their lamps ready, right? Because they're going to walk. Back then, they didn't have any lamps or they didn't have any lighting on the street. Thomas Edison was not around at that time. So it was, have you ever been to the mountain and it's pitch black? Paul, when you drive up in the mountains, if you're driving at middle of the night and you turn off your headlights, it's scary. I've done that just for fun. And I'm like, I'm so dumb because or you have to wake up and you have to go use the restroom oh, man, I shouldn't have ate that burrito. I got to use the restroom. And you're, like, walking to, like, it's not camp, you know? Yeah, exactly. You start hearing noises. It's freaky, right? So check it out. So they wake up, and the foolish, check it out. Listen. I'll wait for you guys. I want you guys to really pay attention. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Just like this grasshopper was, he went out of food. He ran out of food. His pants were fitting real big. He had right? He went for that last leaf, and it flew away. And now he's turning blue, and he's in the snow, and they pick him up, and they bring him in. That's what they were doing. But the wise answered, saying, "No." Everybody say no. "Lest there should not be, enough for us and you." See, these wise virgins were like, you know what? You guys saw us getting our lamps together. You guys had the same opportunity we had to sit down and to go buy this stuff and to get our stuff ready. No. If I give you some of mine, I don't know how long this guy's going to take to get over here, but as we're waiting for him, our stuff's going to go out too. "But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." Hey, have you ever been wanting to buy something that you really need? Maybe not you guys, but there's been times where I need something at like 11:30 or 12, and everything is what? Everything is closed. You go to Walmart and Pico, that's open. Thank God for Walmart. But you think they had Walmart back then? Hey, go to Walmart. Go buy something at Walmart. Hey, go somewhere and go to those who sell. You think these girls, how are they even going to get there when they have no lamps to get there? Make a right here. Oh, there's a tree right there. Oh, go this way. Make the noise, brother. You guys see? You guys are messing around. But see, like,
They didn't have time to do that. Check it out. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. See, those who were ready, those who were messing around, those who took this guy serious, they were ready. And as these other girls, these other five foolish dummies, lazies, who were probably just Snapchatting or Facebooking or, hey, hold on, I'm preaching to somebody right now. And I'm saying, I'm not picking on anybody specifically because I don't know your life. Amen? But for those who were busy doing other not important things, checking how many likes they had or how many boys direct messaged them, say amen or ouch or something. Or boys, I know how boys, huh? Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. Or boys, or boys staying up late playing Xbox, talking to who knows who. I got you, brother. I got 50 kills and you got 3. You know? Or let me talk to the flirt boys. Or sending 50 messages to 50 different girls and saying, oh, wow, let me do the math. One of them will have to reply. Hey. Right? Yes or no? I want your eyes up here. Eyes. I'm telling you guys, this is for real stuff. This is a good story that we could really relate what happens in this world. People that are diligent, people that are not diligent. People that are workers, people that are lazy. Amen? People that are faithful, people that are players and flirts. Amen? Afterward, the other virgins. So everybody say afterward. I don't know how long they took, but they went, tried to buy the stuff. They came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. See, Jesus was warning us, amen, to be ready. We're either working or we're not working. We're either getting prepared or we're not getting prepared. We're either messing around or we're either not messing around. See, I keep it real simple for you guys because I need it simple sometimes too. We're either coming to church, lifting up our hands, praising the Lord, and going home and doing the same thing, or we're coming to church, lifting up our hands, praising the Lord, and going home and getting drunk and playing games. You're either hot or you're cold. Amen? You're either dead or you're alive. Amen? We could put all these things together and give the opposites, yes? We're either tall or short. No, I'm just kidding. That doesn't go with it, but what I'm saying is, hey, God said, hot or cold, I don't want no lukewarm. There's no in between. We're either in or we're out. Amen? Listen, if we watch this, I'm not going to play it again, but if we watch this grasshopper and ants flick again, it'll make a completely different, you'll see it in a completely different way now, once you've read the scriptures. Amen? See, the awesome thing is, if you're a grasshopper today, you have the same hope that this grasshopper had, because there's still time. This queen was merciful and said, you know what? He said, please, queen, I beg you, have mercy on me. And she said, take your fiddle. And he's like, oh, and play. And he changed his song. So, you know what? We're going to change today's title. I owe the world the living. Amen. Because see, I don't want you guys. I want you guys to just take off the world. Just put I owe the world to live in. We owe God a living. Amen. See, Jesus not having to do what he did for us. The Father said, hey, I need you to go down there. I need you to separate yourself from all royalties and all authority and leave your throne to go and die for these people. And see, and we took God's best gift, his only son, and we beat him down to the point of no recognition. And we crucified him on a cross. We did that. You're like, no, I wasn't living 2,000 years ago. Trust me, if we were there, we would have crucified him. I'm not saying all of us. There might be one or two disciples. But we crucified Jesus. But see, God did that because he wanted to have a relationship with us. Amen. I saw somebody posted something today, and I'm going to read it to you. It was just a little clip, and it said, Judas, everybody say Judas? Listen, Judas had the best pastor. He had the best leader. He had the best teacher, the wisest. He had the best friend in the world. And he failed. The problem isn't the leadership or the church you go to. It's your attitude. If it doesn't change or your character is not transformed, you will be the same. Judas could have ate some humble pie. And he could have not been selfish, and Jesus would have forgave him. He forgave Peter. Peter denied Jesus. Me and my wife were just reading that last night. Peter denied Jesus 3 times after he told Jesus, you know what, I'll go to the cross with you. All of his disciples who were with him, they fled. When they came and seized Jesus, it says that they all fled. There was one disciple who kind of stuck around with just like John, the one who loved Jesus. He stuck around and he had his little dress on. And then as he's taking off, he ran home butt naked. It says his garments fell. He had no undergarments. He was that scared. He ran home butt naked. They all abandoned Jesus. See, don't feel bad if you've abandoned Jesus. These guys had the best teacher. They had the best of the best. They had Jesus himself, the Son of God. They were with him 24/7. They ate with him. They slept with him. They traveled together. They saw a bunch of miracles. And yet they did what they did. But guess what? God still used them. Amen? I said God still used them. See, God wants to use each and every one of you in this place. God wants to use you guys. But God wants you guys to start working right now. He doesn't want you guys to wait till the winter, you know. He doesn't want you guys to wait until everything is done. He wants you to start working. If God is calling you right now, you better move today. Because trust me, God is going to ask. You're going to give account to everything that he's entrusted you with. Amen? I've seen people in our church, people like Joel. And I'm not going to say a bunch of names, but people that I've seen, like Joel, people in our internship, Allie, Ashley, Miranda. I'm not going to, see, if I say names, I don't want you to be like, oh, he didn't say my name. And I'm mad, you know. Don't get mad. But I've seen people's lives being transformed in a short amount of time because they've invested and they've worked. Not that they're perfect. Not that they're perfect, amen. But they've worked. I've seen people in church for 30, 40 years. Well, not 40 because I'm only 31. But 30 years since I've been a kid and they're still in the same position. They have never been promoted. They're still singing the same old song. You know? Because they've been lazy and they've been sluggards. Not at our church, though. Amen? Not at our church. So give me one more minute of your time, and I'm gonna leave it alone. If God is calling you tonight to pick up your cross and follow him, if God is calling you to, I believe that God has a calling on each person. If you're here tonight, this was for you. That sounds like, well, God doesn't love me. There's no calling. I don't know what I'm called. Pray to God that he reveals to you what you're called to do. And it doesn't, you know, sometimes people just always want this right here. They want the platform. They want to be seen. If that's your motive, then God doesn't always call people up here. Amen. I was showing Joel a video, and these guys, it's called Church Hunters, and these guys are looking for a church. It's like a parody, kind of like they're making fun of other shows. But it's a couple, and they're like, this guy's like, they're showing them this church. It's like a house hunter, but it's a church. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is a big enough stage. How many people does this church hold? Oh, 7,000? Oh, yeah, I could really see myself ripping a guitar solo up there, and people are like, yeah, worshiping, you know? See, people get into ministry and into certain positions because of wrong motives. God is calling you to start cleaning toilets, to start taking out the trash. What can I do? Hey, I want you to take the trash out and help us vacuum. Yes. God will take that, your attitude, and he'll say, hey, he was faithful in the little. Hey, now we want you to start cleaning the grown-up toilets. Not the little kid toilets anymore, but the grown-up toilets. Hey. And trust me, have a good attitude. I used to clean toilets and be like, Lord, whoever sits here, Lord, bless them. Lord, convict them, Lord. Right? The girls' restroom was the worst, though. They would be throwing away some weird stuff. I didn't say what. I said some weird stuff. But listen, I see it in Joel's life, you know. Started doing the little things. Started being faithful. Started, guess what? Now, hey, Pastor Drew, Pastor Tamar, promotion doesn't come from them. It comes from God. If you're called, hey, guess what? Now you're not cleaning the big people's toilets anymore. Now you're moving out to media or to you know, the sign ministry or something, you know. And if God is calling you to preach, man, you're going to be able to preach and tell young people, like, hey, listen, this is the ministries you want to do because you've done it before. Amen? And it means more. Like if Joel says, hey, can you guys paint the outside? Man, Joel, you don't know anything about painting. All you do is, hey, brother, I used to paint all the time, right? I used to paint all the time. You know, so I want to pray for you guys. And I really, if you want to say, Isaac, you know what? God spoke to me today. I want to no longer be a sluggard. I don't want to be lazy anymore. And don't freak out like, Lord, I don't want to, you know, like, I don't want to be left behind. See, people sometimes freak out because of movies they put out and stuff. Yeah, come on. And this is your opportunity. God wants to rectify his relationship, or he wants you to rectify your relationship with him. And he's, hey, just start working. Start working. Get involved, amen. Either with souls or get involved somehow. Don't say, oh, I'm too young to get involved. No, you're not too young to get involved. Amen? Old people say, I'm too old to get involved. Young people say, oh, I'm too young to get involved. Trust me, it's God's time for you guys is right now. Amen? If you've been a sluggard, man, this is your time, guys. So close your eyes real quick. Everybody close your eyes. I want you guys to say, if you guys are going to listen to anything I said tonight, just close your eyes. And don't peek. If you peek, you're out. God is calling people back to his family tonight. God is calling people out of addiction tonight. God is calling people out of rejection tonight. God is calling people out of just a feeling of stressed out or depressed. God wants to call you out of that tonight. If you're saying, well, Isaac, you know, I want to work, but I don't have motivation to work because this is how I feel, and people have wronged me, and people have done this, and people have done that. Guess what? God is not like these people. God will never let you down. God will never abandon you. God will never forsake you. God will always love you. God will always have his hands out to you, and he'll pick you up, he'll hug you. If you mess up, he'll spank you with one hand and say, son, daughter, I love you. God wants to heal you from anything that you're going through and anything you've been through. If you've been sexually abused, God is here to touch you. If you've been emotionally abused, God is here to touch you and to heal you. If any of those things that I just mentioned have been one of your excuses not to sell out to God, see, I don't want to put your stuff on blast, but sometimes we have to put the devil on blast. Sometimes, like, you know, I grew up in a church where some people would come up and say, it was like testimony time, and they would come up and say, church, pray for me. God knows my heart. And they always carried that. They never said, pray for what? And we'd be like, Lord, we thank you for this sister. Thank you for this brother. You know their heart. But honestly, there's something powerful about coming to the Lord and confessing and honestly, like, just being bold and exposing the devil, saying, devil, you will never have my heart, you will never have my mind ever again. And after today, that's it. I've exposed what I've been dealing with, and I'm gonna allow God to work with me.